Well, God bless all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to open tonight in 1 Peter chapter 3. This past weekend, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the holiday commonly known as Easter. And between now and the next number of weeks, this would correspond to the time of Jesus Christ showing himself alive after his passion. He was here upon earth for 40 days, and the last time he showed himself alive was with his ascension, the day of the ascension. And then 10 days after that came the day of Pentecost. So in about 7 weeks from now, we'll be getting together once again to celebrate Pentecost. But I thought in the meantime that it would be of benefit to us to look at what the Word of God says concerning this period of time between Jesus Christ's resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and then the great day of Pentecost. He showed himself alive to many human beings, and that'll be the major subject that we'll be looking at in the next number of weeks. But before he did that, he also made another resurrection appearance that is spoken of here in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 18. Now, we'll read in verse 17. It says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And that's a continued theme of Peter, because the church, particularly people in Jewish background, were going through quite a bit of persecution in the first century. But it just says that it's better if you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And then the example given is, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." So the example of suffering for well-doing is, of course, Jesus Christ, perfect man. He was the just one, and he suffered for all of us unjust ones. And he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive, quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So after Jesus Christ was made alive by the Spirit, he was given a new life form, a new spirit life form. He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, these are fallen angels, and they're mentioned in a few other places in the Bible. But it describes them, verse 20, "which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." So these spirits, these imprisoned evil spirits, were disobedient, and specifically during the time of Noah. They're mentioned in a couple other places in the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." So again, it's these devil spirits, these evil spirits, are described here as delivered in a chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And again, it's associated with the days of Noah. They're mentioned also in the book of Jude, the second to last book of the Bible, Jude. There is no chapters in Jude, it's just one chapter. But in Jude, verse 6, it says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Now, these angels obviously were very evil, very disobedient. They were singled out from the other devil spirits that are not in chains, are not imprisoned spirits, like we read. But these were so evil that they almost caused the complete destruction of mankind. And it was during the days of Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 gives more detail about the incredible degradation that happened in the days of Noah that resulted in the flood. It says in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 6, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Some people have interpreted verse 2 as the sons of God referring to angels. Well, we know that that's not true, because angels can't cohabitate with human beings. Remember what it teaches in the very first chapter of Genesis, that everything is after its own kind, everything after its own genus. Man cannot reproduce with anyone outside of other Homo sapiens. Dogs can only breed with canines. They're the genus of dogs, and cats, and same thing. But this is talking about the sons of God, referring to believers, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. In other words, this was believers interbreeding with unbelievers. It's part of what resulted in this great degradation. In verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 days. There were giants in the earth in those days." This can be understood as giants of wickedness. "And also after that, that the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." And again, they were mighty in evil. They were renowned for their evil. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, this is the corruption that occurred in the days of Noah. This is what brought about the flood. This is what was caused by those fallen angels that are now in prison, that are now in chains, reserved unto the great day of judgment. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." It shows how bad it was. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them." But verse 8 is quite a contrast. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So with all this incredible wickedness all over the earth, where the thoughts of man's heart were only evil continually, Noah found grace, because Noah was a believer. Noah was a wonderful believer. It says that Noah was perfect in his way, and that means that he was free from idolatry. He didn't go the way that the whole earth had gone, which was worshiping devils, basically. You know, behind every idol is a devil. And that's the worship that was going on all over the earth. But the exception to it was one man named Noah. And as a result, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. That's the word perfect, meaning free from idolatry. He was perfect in his generation. Doesn't mean that Noah didn't sin. Of course, all people have, except for Jesus Christ. But he was perfect in his heart of loving God and keeping God first. And as a result, God gave him great grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Boy, what a description of a very, very dark period of time. So much so that it grieved God that he had made mankind. And basically, with the coming of the flood, it was God's cleansing of the earth. But as a result of Noah's believing, Noah believed God, he built the ark, eight souls were saved, Noah and his wife, his three sons that we just read about, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives, they were saved during this time of the flood. Everything else was basically wiped out. And the verse 12, it says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, what this record doesn't tell us, but what the other ones that we've read previously do tell us, is what was behind this incredible degradation, this incredible evil, was particularly disobedient evil angels, evil spirits. And as a result of this, God put chains on these fallen angels so that they were not free to move. And that's who Jesus Christ first appeared to in his resurrected body. Let's go back to where we started in 1 Peter chapter 3. We talk about resurrection triumph. Well, Jesus Christ, before he appeared to Mary Magdalene, before he appeared to Peter and the two on the road to Emmaus, the night before, in his resurrected body, he appeared unto the imprisoned spirits that are spoken of here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll read it one more time. There's not a lot in the Bible about them, but they are in chains awaiting judgment. And that will come with the events of Jesus Christ's second coming. It says again in verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Now, for somebody who might read this word baptism and think of water, well, they better keep reading, because it says not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, like you would if you're washing in water, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the answer of a good conscience towards God is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, because it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we've been saved. And then verse 22, it says, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." He is second in command of all of God's kingdom. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And it's after his resurrection that he went and demonstrated that to the angelic kingdom. To conclude, look at Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. It's pretty neat to think that upon his resurrection, that he would then go witnessing and just go and show himself to these angels that had caused so much damage to the earth. In Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And it's by this very first resurrection appearance that he showed himself openly to these imprisoned spirits and triumphing over them in it. Because Jesus Christ is God's right-hand man, second in command of God's kingdom, and he has saved all of us by his resurrection from the dead. So after this, next week we'll start looking at his appearance to human beings. But let's remember that before he did, he appeared unto the spirits that were imprisoned because of their misdeeds during the time of Noah. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ, how it has wrought a victory for all of us, a complete and eternal victory. And Father, that Jesus Christ has triumphed over all that is wrong and against you. And Father, he's made a show of it openly. Father, as he showed himself alive to those spirits and then to human beings. And Father, we know he lives because he lives within each of our hearts. So Father, thank you for this and for the upcoming study that we'll partake in seeing his resurrection appearances. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.